Welcome to the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast. In this monthly digest, I cover the main ideas and talking points, the Cliff Notes version, if you will, from the previous month's releases on my YouTube channel. Please visit www.youtube.com/theyoutubecfp to find these and any other videos on the topics of financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. Thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. Hey there, everybody. This is Dominique with DJH Capital Management, here to help you do more with your life and money. And for those of you that follow us on YouTube, you know that we've almost exclusively focused on that medium for about 6 months or so now. And so the goal has been accomplished. We are up and running and we are set to release one video per week. And what's new is this new monthly audio digest where I want to cover the big main ideas from everything that we've talked about via the YouTube channel into a nice, concise executive summary for you so that you can have the takeaways that you need in order to move the ball or move the needle with a bigger, better decision. So here's what you can expect from us going forward if you are part of the community is, like I said, a weekly video upload that's going to be a topic dealing with financial literacy, economic empowerment, or personal development. And most of the time, you know, I fly solo, but you never know when I'm going to have a guest join me to help me break down one of those topics or provide some different perspective or insight. And then this monthly digest, like I said, will be more of a longer format to summarize those main ideas and give you some takeaways from those videos and maybe even a discussion topic that I'd like for you to join me on discussing on the blog, which is at djh-capital.com/blog. So that's how you can get in contact with us if you want to join the discussion. So let's jump right in. Now, in week one, in honor of Financial Literacy Month, I've had a host of topics around this, but what we talked about is these financial checkup list, three questions to ask yourself. And the main idea around this was, how financially fit are you? You know, as a financial advisor, I'm talking to people all the time about their finances, where they are, where they want to go, what they feel the gaps are. And so this episode was really designed on giving you a couple of real good questions to ask yourself, like, what and how are you when it comes to managing your cash flow? Are you regularly contributing to retirement or future lifestyle support, right? What type of savings program do you have in place? And is that on pace to meet your goal? And last but not least, do you need help managing your investment strategy, right? Do you know enough about what assets are out there to get you the type of returns to get you to the goal that you want? Or do you feel more comfortable outsourcing that to somebody that has a little bit more knowledge than you? So those were the three questions in our final financial checkup list. And what you should do if you haven't had time is navigate to my website, djh-capital.com. On the front page would be our financial house quiz. This is going to give you a very, very candid approach to looking at your finances, and you should go through that and see where you are. And I actually have a free resource for you once you consume that quiz. So that's something that you can do that I think would be very beneficial to your progress when it comes to getting your finances in order. Now, remember, if you want to join us in this discussion, you got to hit me up on the blog, djh-capital.com/blog, where we can continue this discussion if you so desire. The next thing we talked about was, should you save money or pay off debt, right? That seems like sometimes a mutually exclusive situation. And so I wanted to give you a page out of my own financial life where I had to make that decision. Long story short, We had some repairs to make on the house. We wanted to consolidate some debt, and we had a huge amount of equity in our house. Knowing that we're probably going to sell this house, it was okay for us to say, hey, let's take a little bit of our money right now and monetize that, use it to do what we need to do to set us up how we want to be in, let's call it, the next 4 to 5 years, which our goal ultimately is to pay cash for our next home. So with that being said, I walked you through in that particular video episode the decision, let's call it, rubric that we used in order to find out what we were going to do. And I started with this. I said you have to evaluate your situation and establish what the main priority was. In our case, we want to pay cash for our next house. So how can we free up enough cash flow so that we can bolster our savings and a cash out refinance made a lot of sense in our particular instance with the amount of equity that we have in our home. The other thing is you start evaluating your possible solutions, right? So in our case, did we want to sell our home and realize all that equity right now and then rent out? Well, in the Dallas market, and as most metropolitan, major metropolitan areas are, the real estate is pretty expensive. So we were actually pretty much treading water with the rent prospect. So we didn't really want to do that. And the cash out refinance made the most sense. So you had to just evaluate the merit of your solutions, making sure that they make sense for everybody that's involved, whether those be children that are going to school, whether that's a spouse that's going to have to increase their commute. You just got to evaluate those, because not only is there the quantitative aspect that deals with the numbers, but it also is the qualitative aspect of how your station in life will change, what your lifestyle is going to look like, and will you still have the same utility value and enjoyment out of life once you make this decision. So that's what Should I Save Money or Pay Off Debt was all about. Hey there, this is Dominique. And if you're enjoying this executive summary, you're going to want to subscribe to my YouTube channel. There is so much more that I cover on a weekly basis inside the videos, and I would love for you to be a part of the community. So here's what you need to do. Just navigate to www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. to subscribe to the channel, and make sure you hit that bell notification so that you can get updates as soon as we release them. Now back to the monthly podcast digest. In the vein of the personal development theme of this podcast and the show, I wanted to talk a little bit about being a certified financial planner and what that career really looks like. You know, there are people I talk to that I mentor, that I coach and or advise. And we talk a little bit about, or a lot about actually, what the financial advisor career looks like. And having a 2-decade career in finance, there is so many aspects about this. And I wanted to highlight some of the more what I would call salient and or important points when it comes to what you should really be considering if this is going to be a career for you. And the first is you got to really want to work with people. You can't be this introvert to a certain aspect unless you just want to be a service advisor, which is something I went over in that podcast. And then when you're talking about the things that you do, it's really about helping people make what I call the bigger, better decision. It's really not about the math. The math part of it is it's obviously there. But when it comes to creating personal financial statements for your clients, or evaluating their budgets, or looking at their investment strategies or tweaking that, those are all things that allow them to get to a certain station in life quicker or faster and without less pain, or with less pain. So I think that's the major theme for what a financial advisor is supposed to do, specifically a certified financial planner. When you are building plans for people, this is really to help them achieve a lifestyle that they don't currently have, or to make the lifestyle that they currently have better than it already is. So you're really there to facilitate what I call meaningful, thoughtful discussions around how their money intersects their life. We talked about average salary on that, and we talked about what it takes to really become a CFP and what education, experience, ethics. There's also an exam component, all the things that you need to consider when you're going to be a financial advisor, especially working with the retail segment or the client consumer facing segment. There are jobs in this industry, obviously, that are less interactive with what I would call the public or the retail public. However, those jobs weren't the scope of what we were talking about on that particular video podcast. So feel free to check that out. That is the Certified Financial Planner Career. What does a CFP do? If you want to check that out on the YouTube channel. In the vein of financial literacy and economic empowerment, I wanted to give you four ways to avoid being scammed for taxes. Obviously, April was the tax filing deadline. Unless you filed an extension, you are still liable for whatever tax liability you had as far as paying for your paying Uncle Sam and writing him a check. But regardless of that, we wanted to make sure that in this season that you were protecting yourselves. And I gave you basically five tips, a bonus one, also to keep your identity safe, to keep your social security and all those other sensitive documents and sensitive information safe when it comes to avoiding tax scams. You know, one of the big ones that I hear about and read about is the fact that people don't know that the IRS will never call you. They'll never call you. They'll never email you directly. They're always going to use snail mail. And I gave you an example of what that snail mail looks like, having been audited a couple of times before. So make sure you check that out, especially if you have what I would say loved ones or aging parents that may fall prey to those type of scams if they're not aware that they're out there. I really hope you're enjoying this executive summary. And if so, I want to hear from you. You can send me your comments from the same location that you downloaded this episode. Or if you want bonus points, you can email me at info@dj-capital.com. That is info@dj-capital.com. And let me know what kind of topics you'd like for me to cover in future episodes. Look, my goal is to see you do more with your life and money. Okay, now let's get back to the podcast. In the vein of financial literacy and what I would call behavioral economics, we tackled what I feel is the real problem with the B word. The B word is budgeting. We went over the pros and cons just because I believe, based on some reading that I had done recently, is that there is two sides to how you think. There is the more, let's call it lizard brain. It's the limbic system. It is the seat of our emotions and how we feel, what we can taste, touch, see, smell. You get the picture there. And the important part of knowing that is that that is the more natural, easy way to think. You know, it's very much tied to your senses. However, there's another way that is a little bit slower. It's a little, takes a little bit more effort, takes a little bit more thought. And that is your more logical brain. And that logical brain, to be honest, is more similar to how a budget would work or a spreadsheet or some sophisticated thought system that has methods and steps and processes. And to be honest, I think this is the reason why most people don't want a budget, because it's related to more effort, more thought. You think about budgeting, you think about recategorizing transactions and looking back at spending patterns and all this other kind of stuff. So in this episode, what I really wanted to bring home is that, A, we do think that way. There are parts of our brain that think the more slow way that relates to how a budget works and a system works. And then there's parts of our brain that think more of a fast, more back of the hand, you know, natural flow, you know, type of thinking. And the point is if you acknowledge this, you can then put into place what I feel is a superior budgeting system that is operated off of a goals-based framework. And I shared that in this YouTube episode, and I really want you to take a look at that, because it's an easier way and an alternative way to think about budgeting that makes it less onerous, less of a chore, and still allows you to accomplish your financial goals. So you definitely want to check out that episode. Don't want to give too much away. I did a lot of screen share and overlays that will help bring home the point of where that dilemma lies and how you can fix it. The other thing we talked about in that same week was restricted stock awards. Now, I have several clients that have equity incentive options or restricted stock. They get compensated with company stock for obviously the job that they work for, the company they work for. And often there's some nuance that goes with that. There's some, I would say, some vagueness or ambiguity around how they you're taxed, how you can use this, and all that. So I wanted to really give a high-level overview on how exactly those work, in that you need a brokerage account. That's the only way that you can trade these things. You're going to have to pay federal income tax, and then you have to come to a decision on whether you're going to sell or hold, how you're going to use the stock awards to build your wealth. Do you need to diversify more? And, you know, all these different things that basically get you to your financial goal faster. How do you want to participate in this, what I call alternative way of being compensated besides just getting cash payments? So this was the gist of that episode. And I gave you a couple of what I would call tips in regards to the takeaways. So this is nothing you really need to be scary about, because it can be an excellent source of wealth building as you work through your financial plan. But here's the problem. If you don't understand how it works, it's going to be really hard for you to have it work for you. So in that regard, you probably need to get somebody that knows more about this than you to get a consultation on exactly how much of your company stock is too much to have in your portfolio as it relates to the goal of whatever you feel is financial independence or financial freedom. So make sure you check out that episode. It is very helpful if you have those types of compensation from your employer. Thanks for taking the time with me today to listen. Just one quick question before we continue. Have you subscribed to my YouTube channel yet? If you haven't, I want to give you just one more reason to subscribe, and that is every week I'll provide you with the very best tools from over 20 years in the industry to take control of your finances and reach your goals faster. How's that? Let's get back to the podcast for the final segment. In the theme of economic empowerment, we talked about how much you really need for retirement. And what I realized after I filmed this is that I'm going to really dig into this and dive into this in future episodes a lot more, where I actually give you some insight to the tools that I use for my financial planning clients about where they need to be and how I use these tools to help them get there, along with some benchmarks on, you know, if you're 35, how much should you have in your 401k? Or if you're 55, how much should you have in your 401k? So I do plan to dig into those topics a little bit more. It was more of a afterthought after I filmed the episode and wanted to say, you know, there's a way to get a little bit more granular with this without going too specific for any given individual, because it's just really hard to do with everybody having different scenarios. But in this particular video, I was really trying to answer the question of a listener that had asked how much exactly should they have in their 401k. And so I wanted to consider from a 30,000 foot view, what should you be looking at? You should be looking at your expenses, what you're living off of now, obviously, and then what potentially you could be living off of in the future. And I would say, along with that, consider the fact that you may have health issues, medical issues in the future. I had a conversation with a client that I talked about in this episode where they want to retire a little bit more or a little bit earlier than they're going to be eligible for Medicare. So there's going to be a gap, if you will, on this, let's say, window where they're not going to be getting medical benefits. They're going to be paying for these out of pocket. The employer won't be providing these for them. And so building a strategy around that and just knowing that it's there is helpful, because healthcare costs can be astronomical in, let's call it, the next 10 years for these people. That's even if they stay healthy and don't have any issues. The next thing you want to consider is income. How much are you saving? How much are you spending? Also, what are the vehicles for your savings program? Are you really, really conservative and all you have is cash or fixed income or gold bullion somewhere buried in the backyard, or, you know, cash in the mattress? Or do you have it invested in stocks and other asset classes that keep up with inflation a little bit better than the former one? So, you know, you're going to want to consider all that. You're going to want to consider any sources of income that you're going to be entitled to, like Social Security or a pension or anything of that nature. And from there, you want to start to look at what exactly will be your wage replacement ratio. That means how much of your existing paycheck are you going to need in retirement? Once you do that, you can annualize that amount. Let's say it's 80 grand a year or whatever. Then you're going to want to take what I feel is a pretty conservative method of not eating up your nest egg and just using the income off of your nest egg to live off of. So let's just say it was 80 grand that you needed to live off of every year in the future. If you divide that by 3%, you get about a 2.6 or 2.7, if you round up, portfolio, $1 million portfolio. That means if you were to earn 3% in interest and dividend payments every year on that $2.7 million portfolio, you can reliably live off of 80 grand before taxes. And, you know, maybe, you know, you're off 4,000 or 5,000 to the north or to the south, but it doesn't really matter. The 3% pretty much holds up in all types of markets. We would say with a pretty high degree of confidence, maybe a 95% probability or something like that. So we get into more of the math of that. Check out that episode if you want. That is the retirement. How much do you really need? Three factors to consider. And last but not least, we dived into some behavioral finance and what I would call more probably personal development on how to change behavior patterns. I've been using a rubric for probably close to 5 or 6 years in my own personal life that has really gotten me some great results, you know, getting my business up and running, getting, you know, raising children, being married for 22 years. It all revolves around mindset and how you use your mind as either a positive or negative force in your life. The point is, when you have experiences, those experiences shape the way you think, the way you believe, and that belief system dictates how you behave. And how you behave will give you the results of that behavior, whether they be good or bad, whether they leave you in bondage or freedom. You have the fruit of those behaviors. So it often revolves around, if you want to change the outcomes in your life and the results you're getting, you have to change the way you think. You have to change your mindset. The example I gave, which you should be able to appreciate, is that if you were having a bad dream that, say, for instance, you were falling off of a cliff or something like that, or falling backwards, and it was a scary event. Now, what you're going to probably notice when you wake up is that you're probably in a cold sweat and your heart's racing really fast. What does that tell you? That tells you that your brain doesn't know the difference between real and make-believe. In that instance, it has simulated the same types of actions or behaviors. You've gotten the same results as if you were really falling. You got the heart rate going up and you've gotten the cold sweat. The only thing you don't have is the bruise from actually falling, because your body doesn't know the difference between you lying down in bed dreaming and it actually happening to you. What does that mean? That means that your brain is a very powerful force in determining what your reality is going to be if you use it correctly. So we go into some more details. I actually share a three-step formula to achieve your goals from my ebook. There's also some references in that ebook to my e-course. So definitely check that out. If you go to the episode, go to youtube.com/the YouTube CFP, and you can look at that episode on how to change your behavior patterns and also get a link to my free ebook to have me explain a little bit more about how that works and how it's worked personally in my own life. So that wraps up this executive summary of April's video podcast on our channel on YouTube. I would love for you to become a part of the community and us continue the conversation. So there's a couple of ways to reach out to me. Obviously, subscribe to the channel on YouTube and leave a comment on any one of the episodes that we reviewed today. I'd be happy to start a conversation with you or answer any questions you may have. You can also visit us at djh-capital.com/blog and comment on any of the articles that we've posted related to these topics. Or if you want, just send me an email at info@djh-capital.com and I'll make sure to get back with you. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. It's been a pleasure to recap everything for you. And if you do like it, let me know. We want to continue to bring you content that's relevant and that helps you move the needle forward and make the bigger, better decision as it goes with your life and money. Talk to you later. Bye for now.